going into Wisconsin.
Well, I got the kicked out of me in Wisconsin once. Forget it.
Snap count on my mind, Romo hand on my butt. I'm the center, and that's what's up. Yeah, I touch the ball on every play. And if you see me coming at you, it's time to pray. I got a big beard and a real mean streak. In the bedroom, I'm a super freak. I once ate a whole honey-baked ham. Ask a DT who the f*** I am. My name is Frederick. Yeah, Travis Frederick. My name is Frederick. Yeah, Travis Frederick.
All right, our good friends at Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys, and of course, delicious Dr. Pepper, get to together to bring you the Travis Frederick Show, and he joins us now from live at the Star. Travis, we'll talk about your big event tonight here in a little bit, but let's jump right in. You know, you guys haven't watched the film yet and this, that, and the other, but I'm real curious about what mood was like in the locker room. How would you describe it compared to other losses? It's never good after a loss, but did anything in the locker room seem a little extra down yesterday, or was it all pretty normal for you guys?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit down yesterday, just because of the way that the game worked out. It was like we were on our way back, and there was some excitement there, and then, you know, that's one of those losses. It's like, you know, ripping a Band-Aid off. It really hurts. However, there were some really good things in the game, and there was some promise there. So, you know, as that kind of faded, you know, in the minutes after the game, people started to come around and realize that, you know, we really do have a really good team. We just need to put things together to be able to come out with wins.
All right, we need your help dissecting the play where you'd snapped the ball and there was, I think, illegal procedure. Mm-hmm. It kind of helped you guys out. What happened on that play?
Yeah, so I didn't know anything happened wrong. Like, I turned around and all of a sudden there was whistles. The Packers guy had the ball. I didn't know what was going on. But what had happened was that the snap was mistimed with the motion that was going across. And from what I understand, the snap actually hit the motion guy as it was going across. So the reason that it was an illegal motion was because not everybody was set before that motion was sent. Basically, you can have a shift, so lots of people can move, and everyone has to be set for at least 1 second, and then you can have one person moving while the ball is snapped. And because not everyone was set for 1 second before that motion was sent, it was illegal shift.
So I guess whenever you snap the ball mm-hmm. in that situation, because there was movement, there was a lot of things going on, but mm-hmm. whenever you snap the ball and the player's running across, that's a weird timing thing, right? Like, I'm assuming you can't peripherally see what's happening for motion, right? You're just relying on whatever Dak tells you?
Correct. Yeah, I just rely on the quarterback, and that's something that we practice, obviously, is the timing of those plays. But it was just a little bit off. You know, I'll admit I probably snapped it just a touch too late. I wasn't, like, anticipating it as much because we weren't quite set yet. Dak was trying to get the ball off because the time was ticking down and everything. So, you know, that's ultimately on me. Obviously, the penalty helped us out there.
So, yeah, that did help out. That was awesome. I'm just curious about the timing of those things. Do you always snap it after the motion guy runs by, or sometimes right before he runs by? Is it any one way, or is it always different?
It's always different. It depends on the play, and it depends on what the motion guy's doing. If the motion guy's getting the ball, it's one way. You know, sometimes if the motion guy's not getting the ball, it's a little bit different. But that's ultimately up to the quarterback to decide when to call for that snap.
So, you know, we get you before you guys go in there and break it down. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go back in time to last week, but I am curious about how you felt about the offensive line as a group after the New Orleans game, after breaking it down, versus what your initial feelings are about yesterday's performance.
Yeah, you know, last week was definitely not us. It was not a good performance by us, but it was, like I said, it was like one guy here and the next play was another guy. It wasn't that we all played bad the entire time. But we worked really hard this week to make adjustments into those things that we knew we were going to see, you know, the movements and some of the pressures that New Orleans showed us. And I think my first impression, not having seen the whole film yet and broken it down with the group, is the offensive line did play better. You know, obviously we're going to continue to try and improve each week, but overall I think it was a better game for us.
So obviously you guys have good depth, and the guys who came in when you know, Tyron obviously didn't play, and Lael did fantastic job, the best they can. But I'd love to get you to tell us just a little bit about how important Tyron is. But I'm asking you in a way, I'm not asking you to take a shot at anybody.
Right.
So just in general, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to figure out the right. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but, you know, Tyron
But you're going to put me on the spot. That's
but
fine.
Tyron is really good, and I feel like maybe sometimes Cowboys fans take him for granted a little bit. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. Tyron is arguably the best, or if not the best, one of the best left tackles in football. And the things that we ask him to do are a little bit different than at other teams, too. He's ultimately responsible for a lot, and he carries that load very easily. He's just so talented. He works really hard at what he does, but his intangibles are special. And so when you lose somebody like that, Cam does a great job, and Cam did a great job last night. But when you have somebody like Tyron that you can just count on all the time, sometimes you take that for granted. And I don't think he should ever be overlooked or overstated how good that he really is.
Is there a singular thing that is more frustrating than anything else after last night's game? Or yesterday afternoon?
You know, I think overall it's just frustrating, you know, to have the mistakes early and be shooting ourselves in the foot several times. And then, yep, thank you. And to be able to make that comeback and start to turn the tide a little bit, you know, who knows, you know, where things were going as we kept going. But, you know, to get things going again and have some explosive plays, you know, that's all very promising. And it shows that our team can fight and will fight no matter what. And so it gives you a little bit, you know, you asked a couple of weeks ago, you know, who our team is and what we know about them. And I think last night revealed a little bit more about our team.
All right. We're talking to Travis Frederick on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. So tonight you have your big charity event. We're
yes.
going to be out there, the Blocking Out Hunger Foundation, another opportunity to for you to do some good and raise some money to help feed kids who are hungry here in the Metroplex. And it's a great event. So since it's coming off of a loss, is it going to be super tense?
You know, I've been a part of these after wins and after losses. And, you know, honestly, that kind of goes away a little bit, the wins and losses. You know, we're there to support the kids and to help people here in Dallas that need help. And, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit down when you first start talking to people. But by the end of the day here for us as players, the game is behind us. You know, we're not thinking about it anymore. We're moving forward. So by the time that comes around tonight, in theory, all the players are moved forward and ready to go.
What if the MCs bring up a lot of specific plays and make jokes about it during the event?
You know, the MCs are kind of a wild card. It's tough to control them. You give them a script, and often they rip it up and just do whatever they want. So it can be tough. However, you know, you gotta go with the flow, and you got to see how the crowd's doing. If the crowd wants to hear more of those pointed questions from the MCs, you know, I know that they're going to ask them.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know, I have really great MCs. I'm really fortunate to have them. But, you know, they do a great job reading the crowd, and they'll do whatever the crowd wants.
Wild cards. I like that. I like that. So at any point during tonight, we could just kind of turn it into our own sports talk show if we want to?
I mean, you've done that in the past, so it wouldn't surprise me.
What if we took calls?
Now, that would be something. That would be something. I think, you know, maybe we need to put a telethon in this as well.
Yeah.
You take calls, ask questions, make donations. It would be great for everybody involved.
Now, I've heard in time, though, a lot of MC supergroups, they like to have a third guy. So they like to have a guy who is the brains, they like to have a guy who's the looks, and then one guy usually plays the role of the wild card.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you're just going with two.
Well, you know, that is a great point. That is a great point. But, Kevin, there actually is a third guy that, you know, helps out. He's the auctioneer. He's really special. He's really, really good at what he does. So he's kind of the wild card, actually.
Ben and I handpicked this guy.
Yeah. Yep. They have. Kevin, I just really wish that I could see you. I know you're always busy. It's really unfortunate that you turned down my request to join.
I knew nothing about it.
What?
To be honest. I got a concert tonight, though, I'll catch you next time.
Right. Shippy's playing drops tonight.
Wrecking Tours are in town.
I don't have any plans, Travis.
Oh, Shippy. Shippy, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. Hey. How are you?
Great.
Both guys made it into our top 50 candidates that Skin and I were looking at, and it just didn't make it to the next round.
Well, maybe next year.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Coach Garrett. And again, don't want to get you any hot water here, but picking up a flag for throwing down a flag, and obviously, I guess he said something. Can you tell us what was said?
You know what? I was on the field, so I don't know what was said. And I asked the official several times what the issue was, and I couldn't get an explanation. They don't like to explain things to the players very much. So I don't know exactly what was said. I saw a replay of when he threw the flag, and he threw the flag sort of forcefully, but I think it was a verbal issue. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens during the game. You know, the coaches are talking to the officials, and the officials are talking to the coaches, so things get heated. I don't know exactly, again, what was said, but it was unfortunate timing, but, you know, things happen.
Y'all made up for it with a quick 25-yard pop to Zeke.
Yes, that was an unbelievable catch for him to be able to take that over the shoulder and get both feet in. That was really, really impressive.
What is the most shocking cuss word combination you've ever heard Garrett throw down?
Wow, am I allowed to say that on the radio?
Well, describe him.
He uses a variety of language. You know, he's a really smart man, well educated. So he uses a lot. You know, the combinations of words that he uses are really impressive.
Really?
And I think here's what I'm going for. I'm trying to not say the words, but some of the dirtiest things I've ever heard, you know, some of the nastiest language.
I don't believe that. No? So most Ivy League guys, when they cuss, they say "on guard."
It's not quite on guard. What's the word I'm looking for here? It's like, thou shalt not throw that flag.
Oh, he went biblical or something.
Yeah.
One of the Garrett commandments, I take it.
How dare thee?
Is he always the ref threw a flag at him for being corny.
Is he always carrying one of those fencing swords?
You know what? I think that's why he wears pants all the time. Okay. You never see him in shorts. Yeah. I think he like hides it down his leg there.
Well, we appreciate you joking around with us about that. Hey, we're happy that you jumped on with us. You know, you agreed to do the show with us, which we're super elated about. But even on Mondays, it's going to be fun sometimes after a win, but you make it fun after a loss. And we appreciate you answering the really tough questions like how often Coach Garrett cusses. And anything you'd like to say to folks about tonight's charity event?
Yeah, you know, I'm just super excited about tonight. I will tweet out, go to my Twitter, at tfrederick72, and I'll tweet out a link for our silent auction. You don't have to be present to participate in that silent auction, so you can check things out. There's a bunch of really cool things, and I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody there.
Yeah, hey, send that link out. We'll retweet it as well. And you guys always do have incredible items for the auction. So for sure, everybody should check that out. Hey, Travis, thanks for your time, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes, the great Travis Frederick. His weekly visit brought to you by
Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys, and Dr. Pepper.
Right. How about that? And what's the slogan?
Two great tastes that go great together.
That's not
push those tastes together.
It's not really.
Who are the MCs he's talking about?
Push them together. Coming up next, let's go around. Let's go around.
Push those tastes together.
Let's go around the NFL.